animal damage done. Oh no, we're not gonna get Neil Young on the Spotify.
Yeah, okay. Big loss. Did you just say he had 60% of Neil Young's income comes from streaming royalties? Streaming.
He's losing all of that for Spotify. Neil!
I thought people used to be rebels. That's Haley. I'm Terry. There's Ian. And Will Clark is with us as well from the University of Louisville. Hi, Willie.
Good afternoon, Terry, and the saga that has consumed this city for the better part of the last 30-some-odd hours is now officially over.
Hey, you got a lot of good questions in there at the press conference. Did you hear him, Haley?
Yeah, I was so proud every time I heard him. I was cheering.
He was a baller. You were in the back of the room or you were somewhere off mic at first, but we all knew it was you right away because you just bellowed over the crowd and we heard your questions.
Yeah, I lay low. I stand in the back of the room. It's the tall kid in the picture sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, give us a sense of the relief or what's the feeling that you get from Josh Hurd, because I especially like the question I think you posed about, well, who's the in charge of this search committee?
Yeah, and I think that part's coming together. I get the impression from him that this was a conversation that didn't just pop up yesterday. He didn't really like the idea of saying that the conversation picked up speed after the Notre Dame loss, but that certainly didn't help. The optics of the Virginia game, I think, most certainly were the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, well, TV, I think TV did Mac wrong on that one. They were down 25-8, and he was sitting, and they sort of fixated on a shot of Chris Mack sitting on the bench as though he didn't care.
And I think that will go down as that was the moment that the Mac era ended. The rest of it was just financial, you know, crossing T's, dotting I's. But I get the impression that Josh Hurd is going to make this hire. So it will be an interim athletic director to hire a permanent coach. Mm-hmm. Exactly who that is at this point, I don't think he even knows. He says he has a wish list, just as I'm sure every athletic director in America does.
Doesn't he have a relationship with Jay Wright of Villanova? And do you think that was the friend coach he was talking with who he asked, hey, is Louisville a big-time job? What's the story on the street?
I would think, considering that he was very high up in the Villanova administration, that was probably the call. I doubt he would ever admit that to us, but I certainly feel like that would be the call.
Ian nailed that right away. He says Jay Wright. Got to be.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Jay Wright, he's been to the KFC Yum Center before. He played. This was their road to the Final Four. It came through here.
That's right.
Well, so, and Jay used to be here when Louisville was a member of the Big East. So
I mean, he knows the market. He knows the city. He knows the passion that the city has for the program. I think he would certainly value it. Now, that being said, does the University of Louisville have the draw it would take to get him out of Philadelphia and the situation that he's running there? I don't know. I'd say that's a 60-40 chance at this point.
Yeah, we don't know until the NCAA throws the final hammer down and we know whatever is going to happen. Why would anyone really be that fascinated with this job? Right, Haley, would you come if you were thinking, well, now I can take a new job and I can move my family, but I don't know if the ceiling is going to fall in.
Yeah, and Hurd mentioned, he said that everyone around the world wants this coaching job, and it's a really tough situation to be in right now.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think that if you were to look at the Louisville job in a perfect scenario, there's no NCAA cloud, the money is there for it to be a competitive wage. The administration, by and large, for the previous coaches has just been hands-off with coaching selections and didn't step in until it was absolutely necessary. So I think from that perspective, sure, it's very lucrative. You come in here, you're in the ACC, you have what is without a doubt one of the top, if not the top arenas in the ACC, a fan base that is overly passionate about the program. It's undoubtedly one of the top jobs. Now, you throw that NCAA cloud over it, and you probably got the majority of those guys are taking a step back. Now, if you want to go look at a mid-major coach, somebody maybe in the, I don't know, the Ohio Valley, the Missouri Valley Conference, somebody who's young enough in their career and is okay with kind of playing the long game and doesn't mind waiting it out.
No, fan base isn't patient, though. Let's be honest.
No, patience is not an enduring quality of the Louisville fan base.
They've been barking at Mac since he put his suitcase down.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that Pegues will probably get a little bit of a honeymoon, given how this has all come about.
Well, he's just like the escort through the haunted house, you know, at this point. He's just getting into the exit of the haunted house, Pegues.
But at the same time, and we're going to hear from him, Kenny Klein tells us we'll hear from him and some players on Friday, but you'd have to think that he's treating every game from here on out as, you know, as a job interview. That every move he makes is going to be evaluated for either the Louisville full-time job or an opening somewhere else should he not get the Louisville job. So you know that this is high stakes for him regardless of how the search ends here.
Does it seem like there's a good chance that Pegues would be turned into a full-time coach after being interim for a little?
I think that could happen. And there's a couple of reasons I say that. Because there is a push for diversity. There have been groups of former players that have expressed their concerns over the lack of coaches of color, administrators of color within the program.
Butch Beer, Jerry Eves.
Yes, among others, but they've been the most vocal. And so I think that would carry some weight, given the current climate. I think that the players, at least during that six-game stretch, responded to him well. And the record shows it. There was that one early season loss that was a blip that certainly didn't help anybody's cause, but it happened.
Furman.
But you look through the rest. Yeah, but you look through the rest of that stretch, especially that trip to the Bahamas. Things turned out just fine. So, I think you could make the case. I certainly believe he'll be in the running, but it will have to determine. If the NCAA ruling comes down in short order, which, again, we're talking about the NCAA, they move at roughly the same pace as the IRS. So, we're you know, it may be this year, it may be next year, it may be 2028. Who knows? I mean, the NCAA doesn't seem to be terribly in a hurry to resolve this.
All right. I've seen photos of you standing next to Chris Mack earlier today. For those listening who did not hear his comments, we've been playing them throughout the course of the afternoon. Just give us a sense, a synopsis of how that went and his mood. Obviously, he was like a man, you know, dead man walking. He was headed to the execution chamber, and that can't be a pleasant thing for a guy to do.
No, and you could tell the emotion was there and it was raw. And a lot of times when you see those sort of things, it feels forced. It doesn't feel genuine. But I felt that he genuinely cares about his players, how this is going to end for them, how it's going to end for the program, how the city will, how he hopes the city will come back and support the program. I think he genuinely cares, and I think that's why it hurts him so much. And Josh Hurd kind of, you know, expanded on that. He said that there was nobody working any harder to try and turn this thing around than Chris Mack. And, you know, it's just kind of one of the ugly underbellies of coaching, is sometimes you just can't turn that ship around. And unfortunately for Chris Mack, the ship didn't turn.
Well, Will, we appreciate all your coverage of this today. We know it's been a long day for you, and I just appreciate the insights on both sides of all this.
And if you want to see the video of Chris Mack's comments outside of the Cuber Center, we have posted those to the 840 WHAS Facebook page.
Okay,
it's on our Instagram page. I've tweeted it out, and you can find it on YouTube. So it's out there for everyone to see. And as I told Tony Vannetti a little while ago, the genuine raw emotion that I felt from Chris Mack was I think everyone in the fan base needs to see that, because there's going to be a lot of people who will try to armchair quarterback how this era of Louisville basketball ended. But just listen to the emotion. This isn't a guy who didn't care. He wasn't checked out. He may have looked defeated. But this is a guy that I think that if he had the opportunity to go back and try to run through the wall for this team, he would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're always going to get commenters online. They're all high achievers, those commenters on Twitter. Will, appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks so much. I seen the needle and no more Neil Young talk. Deadspin has fallen in it. We'll get to that in a few minutes here. Speaking of races and coaches and the combination thereof, we're on the way here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Tweet of the day. How does an Ivy-educated, Wordle-playing vegan CrossFitter know what to tell you about first?
They just read that sentence.
Exactly right. Yeah, I'm Ivy League. No, vegan, you have to mention that somewhere in there. And Wordle is, my wife's obsessed with it now.
I'm on a group of girls that are playing Wordle, and we compare scores every day. I have not tried it yet. I cannot figure out how to play.
It's just another fixation thing. Mary will show me when she solves one really fast, and it's like, okay,
great. I don't need another excuse to look at my phone.
I'm guessing that person doesn't tell you anything. They just hand you their business card with all that stuff on it.
Yeah, but several people in the comments are saying, oh, no, they'll also have to mention they're from New York City. That's also another thing.
Oh, yep.
They have a Tesla. They're an atheist. You know, the usual list of all these.
Tesla's a good one.
I'm so great because I'm this, and I have to mention it right away.
When I worked at the coffee shop, we had a guy come through the drive-thru in a Tesla, and he said, do you give discounts for people with Teslas? And we stared at him, and we said, sir, if you're able to afford a Tesla, I don't think you need a discount on your black coffee. Thank you, though.
Hilarious. I love that. All right, still to come on the show, Deadspin messes up. They've fallen into it, as we say.
Deadspin.
Oh, my goodness. That's bad. That's bad stuff. And, a memo from the company today telling us to watch out and not get scammed again. We'll get to that in a few. On News Radio 840 WHAS.
Tony Cruz! Became dance fever in here all of a sudden.
We need some good news.
What is life? It's Hailing the Knobs on News Radio 840 WHAS. I know you're delighted to hear the president is going to have an opportunity to put a new member on the Supreme Court, and he said when he was running it was going to be a black woman.
A black woman.
So there.
We love to see it. We love diversity.
Yeah, and there's no black woman on the Supreme Court. There's Clarence Thomas.
Sotomayor.
Sonia Sotomayor. And Aileen Kagan. She not on it anymore?
Oh, no, I think she is, but I'm trying to think if there are
no,
any.
I think Clarence Thomas is the only African-American person who's on the Supreme Court right now. Amy Coney Barrett was a white nominee who was put in through the Trump organization. So now, anyway, President Biden gets his chance. And I heard an ABC reporter earlier today say, now, you know, the Republicans can't stop this because they used the nuclear option.
They went nuclear.
And I'm thinking, you ever heard of Harry Reid? Because he's the one who did that first for Barack Obama in 2013. Read your history. You young reporters out there, sometimes go back. You have to dig a little bit. Which brings me to this.
Very good.
Deadspin, they put an article out. Ooh. We're always talking about this is like the hiring season in NFL. When you come to the end of the season, they fire a bunch of coaches. They start looking for new ones. I don't see the writer's name on this Deadspin article, but they're leaving it up. Here's the headline. It's a head and a subhead. Sure, Mike McDaniel seems cool, but he's not worthy of a head coaching gig yet. Subhead. Please stop and think before you inadvertently dub another young white guy as the next hot NFL coaching prospect.
Sounds great. What's the problem, Terry?
He's biracial.
Oh!
I hate it when that happens. If only there was a Google machine where you could do some research.
If only. If only you could look back and see when he mentions that he's biracial.
I just read his story on an NBC report from last year. Just one of the ones that would have popped up on the Google machine. It's a great story when he's talking about being a young person and an intern, and he got into football that way, and all of a sudden, and then later his single mom raised him, and he tells his whole story. Anyway, he winds up at a family's house and realizes that his dad and his grandfather are dark, very dark people, and he's very light-skinned. And it's like the first time he put that together. Oh.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the Deadspin editor's note that they've added as of a little while ago. We learned after the publication of this article that 49ers, I said Washington, it's 49ers OC Mike McDaniel, whom we described as a white guy, is in fact biracial. The article's original text remains below. We regret the error. Oh, I'll bet you do.
The whole article is about him being a white guy.
Exactly.
And he's not even white, yet they're keeping it up? Deadspin.
The whole premise is, yeah, for them to be, you know, hey, let's stop looking at white people for these coaching jobs. White people, there's too many of them already. We need people of color in these. What? Oh. Yeah, that's time to delete the piece.
You couldn't even just quick Google search offensive coordinator race ? Yeah, there are so many ways you could figure this out. Oh,
these computers are very valuable unless somebody's trying to steal from you, Haley. Did you get one today? A note from who is it? Our HR department.
Oh yeah, I think everybody got
mm-hmm.
it.
Janet,
more scams to watch.
Oh my goodness, dear iHeart team. Yes, the bad guys are up to it again. Why do they assume that they're men?
Very good.
This time sending text messages to employees' cell phones pretending to be from iHeart CEO Bob Pittman.
I love it. And then she sends pictures of the scammer saying, hey, I'm in a meeting and I need some Apple gift cards. Hey, this is Bob Pittman, your boss's boss's boss. Can you get me those gift cards? Sure, Bob. Sounds totally legit. Ugh.
Oh, Tony Cruz, how did you fall for this again?
How quickly would Tony Cruz say, oh my gosh, I got to send some Apple gift cards right away?
Oh, he would go out and buy his own gift cards right away and send those.
Immediately.
Hi, Jennifer, I'm in a conference right now. Can't talk on the phone. Let me know if you got my text. Thanks, Bob Pittman. Oh, hi, Bob. This is Jennifer. She's like, you know, oh my God, Bob Pittman.
Why is he texting me directly?
I like what she said the first time. You may have mistaken me for another Jennifer you're trying to reach. Thanks. She's thinking, I'm such a peon. Why would you be?
Right. Why are you texting my number, Bob, while you're in the middle of a conference?
Fake Bob, our boss. Fake boss. Response. Yes, I have an urgent task for you. Are you available? ? Oh, happy to help, Bob. Okay, thanks for your response. Okay, I'm on a conference call meeting right now, and I need to provide a client with some gift cards. Can you confirm if you can get Apple gift card from the nearest store to you? Do you think anybody fell for it, anybody in our company, other than Tony Cruz?
Yes,
the
surely.
Reason they sent it out is right. Because I'm sure someone did.
That is funny. I'm too cheap. I'd say, you're the guy with the private jet. Buy your own
right.
Damn cards.
Yeah, send me the company card, and then I'll do it.
Tell the client, you know, you're going to take them to lunch and then buy them whatever you want.
Why would the client need those gift cards right away anyway? We all know how radio promotions work. It's going to be weeks before anybody sees those cards.
Right.
We have a company jet. Who here has been on it? Not me.
I don't see any hands.
Nope, none of us.
Yeah. Guys with private jets, don't ask employees to buy Apple gift cards. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Apparently, Bill Cosby's feelings are hurt. Just want to give you a little advance notice on that.
I'm so sad for Bill.
Me too. And by the way, I still have his cell number. Should I text him and ask to see if I can get some Apple gift cards?
Yeah, shoot for the moon, though, not just Apple. Go
Bill,
all the way.
Bill, I was the guy out in front of the courthouse screaming, "Free Bill Cosby!" Can I have some Apple gift cards?
I have an urgent task for you. Terrible.
Apparently there's another documentary coming out, and Bill Cosby and his people are not happy. Here's ABC News.
The new docuseries, We Need to Talk About Cosby, takes a look at Bill Cosby's legacy and sexual assault accusations.
Bill Cosby had been one of my heroes.
It's from W. Kamau Bell, who Cosby's rep Andrew Wyatt calls a PR hack in a statement about the doc. He says Cosby spent more than 50 years standing with the disenfranchised. He's the target of media lies and a victim of prosecutorial violations. That, he says, should be the subject for a professional documentary. And he again says Cosby vehemently denies all allegations made against him. We Need to Talk About Cosby premieres Sunday night on Showtime.
We do need to talk about Cosby.
We do need to talk about Cosby right now. It wasn't one woman. It wasn't two women.
And in fact, it wasn't 3, 4, 5, or 6.
It was 100, wasn't it? 90-something women who...
It was a lot of women, and he didn't get out of jail because he wasn't guilty.
Right.
He got out of jail because evidence was mishandled, and some testimony may not have been allowed. And
let me hear this again.
He says Cosby spent more than 50 years standing with the disenfranchised. He's the target of media lies and a victim of prosecutorial violations.
Oh, media lies.
Prosecutorial violations. You're right, Bill.
Oh. No, he was convicted. And obviously, there are all kinds of stories. And I know Felicia Rashad came running out front. She played his wife on TV on the famous Cosby Show. He was on so many shows over the years. But that show was number one in America in the 80s, and it was for year after year after year. I mean, it was like the Seinfeld of the 90s.
At the time.
But of the 80s. Cosby was the biggest thing in the world, and everybody loved him. He was America's dad, and apparently a lot of this stuff was going on while that show was being filmed. Anyway, Bill Cosby, I'm not buying it. The documentary.
He's out. I mean, he's free.
Oh, some PR hack is out to get me. That's what he said. Let's bring up some Chris Rock. I always like to hear a little Chris Rock on the broadcast.
I had an uncle that went crazy. Everybody's got a crazy uncle. He's usually your favorite uncle when you're a kid, too. You don't realize he's crazy till you're about 15. My Uncle Bobby lost his mind. You know what people do when they lose their mind? They start repeating shit that don't mean nothing. Every time you ask Bobby a question, he answers the same way. Bobby, what time is it? If you want to feel funky, feel free. And please don't spread that funk on me. What did that mean? I'll never know. You know what cartoon I used to hate when I was a kid? Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. It's like the most racist, most degrading cartoon in the history of television. I actually had a guy walking around with a damn hat pulled over his head. And another guy going, a wee book over Jesus story. Not my name is Babilla. Say, hey, 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 I'm illiterate.
Chris Rock. Not a fan of Bill Cosby either.
For good reasons, I'd say.
Bill Cosby, remember, he used to preach to black people, pull up your pants, I'm responsible. Just so that it would have been all the while, he's living another life, too.
Maybe preach something else.
Yeah. That was an interesting time, to be sure. Bill Cosby is not happy tonight. Well, that makes me happy. We'll see you guys again tomorrow. And... I guess we don't have any basketball tonight. That's right. Enjoy the evening.